Oh man, it kind of smells like Up Dog in here.
What's up, dog?
Oh, not too much. Oh.
Dad jokes. Welcome. Mike Bazowski.
Mike Bazowski.
Welcome to From a Certain Point of View, a Wooden Bull Films podcast, everyone. I'm Hayden Woodhead. Thank you for joining us again today. We hope you all had a very safe and merry Christmas or family get-together or whatever it was that you celebrated last week. As always, the man on the other side of the mic with me today is Mr. Fantastic himself, Mr. Justin Turnbull. Now, this is your first episode. We're happy to have you. Get ready. It's going to be a fun one. And if you're returning, we appreciate you returning and listening to us talk. Now, I'm going to hand it over to Justin because he's got a few little things that he wants to tell us all.
A few little things I'd like to say. I have a lot of things. But let's just start with a couple people. By the way, I'm loving the Mr. Fantastic introduction. I got to come up with something for you because, I mean, that's obviously what I wanted to use for you, but you took it, so now I have to think of something else, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, hope everybody had a very Merry Christmas. This episode, this is going to be a fun little one. This one's going to bring us out of 2020 and into 2021. We're going to keep our usual trade talk. We're going to get to a listener question, a very fun listener question, actually. Really excited to answer this one. Not. if you have a question or a topic, something that you think would be great for us to discuss or answer on the show, you can always hit us up on any of our social medias, Facebook From a Certain Point of View, Instagram From a Certain Point of View Podcast, Twitter From a Certain PO1. Now, we've actually, we have an email address now too, because you know what? We didn't want to discriminate against the people who don't have the social. So for all you people listening that are 70 years and older, and you would like to reach us by email.
Is this one for us?
Turn right here. I think he's about to say the email. It's From a Certain Point of View Podcast at gmail.com. So you can send stuff there. Or if you just want to communicate with us, that's cool too. We dig that. So yeah, listener question, trade talk. Oh, we're going to change up a little game because we've been doing the monologue one and it's been too easy for you guys following at home. So we're going to do a round of speed quotes where Hayden and I are going to go for a minute dropping some really iconic, famous quotes to see if the other person can get it, to see who can get the most in a minute. And it's going to be fun because you guys can play along with us and get smashed by our scores.
It's also time for me to get redemption.
Redemption.
The sequel.
Yes.
To I don't know what.
Yeah, sequel. The sequel to something. And we are going to give, we're not going to give it away this episode, but we're going to, at some point in the episode, drop a code word that you guys are going to message to us or email to us. And then your name is going to go into a draw. And then next week's episode, we are going to, oh, there it is. Mr. Fantastic 2.0 is holding it up. All those names are going to go into a draw. We're going to draw it next week. And it's going to be for a nice, From a Certain Point of View, coffee mug. So while you're listening to us in the morning or the evening or the afternoon and enjoying your coffee, it's got a nice little photo on it, a hashtag moist mustache. If you're new, you're thinking, what is that about? But for all of you following along, you know what's up. But before all that, like we always start, we're going to get into what we've been watching this last week. And I'm going to throw it back to Hayden to see what he's been watching. But actually, before that, Hayden, I think I heard something about you getting nominated for some sort of Academy Award. Is this true?
This is very true. And folks, that was Akata Meat, M-E-A-T. Now, the backstory behind that is when COVID hit and the whole world shut down, I actually moved jobs to a company called Meridian, and they're called Meridian Farm Market and Meat. So essentially it's a butcher shop and a farm market. My partner, she is the head butcher there. So she's like, come work with me. And I did. I was security guard. I've dropped little bits of this story throughout the first 15 episodes that we've done. So I started as a door security person, and then they moved me inside the produce, and then I got promoted up through to that, and now I'm an assistant manager. So I've only been there since April. They have these awards every year. It's kind of the end of year Christmas party award ceremony, but because we couldn't have it in person, they decided to do a live stream, get all funky and futuristic with it. And I had to tune in because I was nominated for Rookie of the Year. Now they give that to the person who's been there for less than 12 months, who's doing good, I guess. Now, what was one of the cool draw cards of tuning in was that they were going to have a bunch of different celebrities announce the awards. So like they had what's a face from Tiger King, Carol Baskin.
Baskins?
Mm. Carol Baskins. I don't know who it is. I've not watched the show.
Shame.
I'm not going to fall in the trends, man. So when they were like, yeah, you got to tune in. She's doing an award. I'm like, I don't know who that is. Yeah. Carol. I'll tune in.
Yeah, cool.
But so that was the only one they name dropped. But luckily for me, and it kind of fits nicely with what like my goal dream job is to work in the film industry, I actually had a movie star introduced my award, like the category I was nominated for. And I have a video here.
Now, just a little soundbite.
His name is John Heder. John Heder. You might know him from Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell, or you might know him as Napoleon Dynamite. Now, I got a little clip here. I hope you can hear it. I've queued it up, hopefully, to where he introduces me because no one really cares about anyone else. No, I kid.
Nobody cares about the losers.
Just spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
Hayden Woodhead from Delta. You sound like a special person. The winner is, drum roll.
So I was fortunate enough to be voted by my peers.
Congratulations, Hayden Woodhead. All right? You're the winner of the Academy Awards. Rookie of the Year, whatever. Well done at being a rookie. Rookie of what? Nobody knows. John, my congratulations to you. I'm all your wildest dreams come true. Now, go get a decoded piece of crap.
So that That's was awesome. My little thing that I got to participate in last night, and I was voted by my peers. So to move into a different industry and be voted by your peers as one of the best new employees was really nice and touching. And they gave me this funky Academy Award that. I'll put up on social media so you can see. It's really quite hefty and heavy. Like, it's legit.
It looks legit.
It's like
Jinx.
Jinx. So I was the first award up. I had him as in character as my presenter. And then to win the award, I was like, oh, awesome. And then I got a bunch of gift cards with it too. So I get to spend some stuff on some things. It's great. It's good times.
That's so cool. I guess what the question that everybody else is asking is, Hayden, was there anybody else nominated?
If you wanted to play the clip back, there was like four other people nominated as well.
Well, we'll have to take your word for it because we just don't have the time, but there really was people.
There was. And regardless, it was still, I can't vote for myself, so someone had to have voted for me. But yeah, so that was, that's what I was watching last night, among other shows that I've been watching. And it was a short, sharp, sweet, you know, thing, because obviously what you just said. But other things that I've been getting to recently, obviously the Christmas movies, and I managed to track down the Polar Express and Elf at like Walmart for like $10 a pop each. So we had to buy those because neither one of those films is on Netflix. I don't know if it's on Amazon Prime or not, but I was like, we don't have it, so let's buy a physical copy. So we did. So they got continuing on with those. We attempted to watch The Christmas Chronicles 2. And I say attempted because we got it's longer than the first one. It's like, what, it's 2 hours? So we got through the first hour. Well, I did. Alex was flat out asleep within the first 20 minutes. And then the last like 40 minutes, I had to try and rewatch like 5 times because I kept falling asleep. Didn't even get to see it all the way through. So that film is half done. Yep. That, ladies and gentlemen, is where the moist mustache hashtag comes from. Because if I fall asleep watching a film, you better believe that that is going to happen. So we watched that, or tried to watch that. And then we also started, because Hallmark has all of those fancy, fun films all the time, all year round, we're like, oh, where's like the W channel or whatever to watch some just feel good Christmas movies. Couldn't find it, obviously. So we were like on Netflix, and there was a show called Virgin River, which looked like a Hallmark movie, but it was a series. So Alex said, let's watch this. It looks like a Hallmark series. I was like, fair enough. I've kind of been on and off watching it because I've got other things that I'm working on. But Alex has been watching all the way through. And so you come back in and you get like sucked in every, like, what's going on? Who's that guy? And who's that person? And what's going on here? I thought this happened. She's like, no, no, no. So it's quite fun. I quite like it. And I just saw actually it got renewed by Netflix like today for a season 3. So that's some fun news.
Nice.
So I'll just have to catch up on the other episode. But other than that, that's about all I've been watching, man. What about you?
Man, well, I can tell you what I should be watching right now. And that is the season finale of Mandalorian season 2. But ladies and gentlemen, people listening, Hayden, no longer am I crushing my kids' dreams. Y'all are doing it. Hayden's trying to hide right now.
Technically, we've just entered a wormhole there because we're talking about post-Christmas, yet this show came out before Christmas, and now it's in the air. It's going to be black hole stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just like to jump back and forth through time, Hayden and I. Yeah, that's right. So I get a little jabby jab in there. Dude, I haven't, you know what? Like, it's just been a heck of a week for me. I haven't really watched anything. I mean, watched some more Kim's Convenience. Nothing new though. I think that might be it. And I've caught up and finished the last 3 episodes of Joe and Naples, the YouTube series that I've been watching, because they're short, so they're nice and quick. I could just pull them up and watch them, and they're good entertainment. It's funny, and I realize I called it John and Naples a couple episodes back. So a little snafu. But actually, a little snafu. So yeah, man, it hasn't been too exciting for me. I do want to say though, actually speaking of a couple episodes back, because we put out the code word Kraken and you sort of set it up and sort of just randomly happened to see if who is listening to the very end of the episode. And I actually got a message. I got a message from Russ.
Woo.
So congratulations, Russ. Although he didn't, I don't know if I misspoke or if it's just because he's from the bush, but he didn't send the word Kraken. He sent the word crackling. But so at first I was like, I read this message and it just said crackling exclamation mark. I was like, what? What are you doing up there, Russ? But then I was like, oh, that is the code word. So that was awesome. And then actually we had some good user listener interaction on the social medias because we had talked about side characters who got spinoffs or roles that were increased. And Afton pointed out Angel was a spinoff from Buffy, which I totally didn't even think of. And Mr. Sweet Pea himself mentioned Xena from Hercules. And actually, I didn't know this. Simpsons, he pointed out, started as a little 15-minute bit on the Tracy Ullman show. And then it ultimately became its own 30-minute show and debuted as a Christmas special, actually, in 1989. I had no idea.
So that's what happens when you don't watch The Simpsons, man.
I know. I've never. Yeah,
you've just got a few seasons to catch up on and you'll be all good.
Like 19 seasons or something like that. And Russ actually mentioned Andy, Chris Pratt's character from Parks and Rec. He was only supposed to be a guest star for a few and they loved him. They thought he was funny. So he became a mainstay. So excellent job, people. Those are some good ones.
And actually, yeah, I read that Xena one and I was like, oh, how could I forget that? Because I grew up watching like The Adventures of Hercules and Xena. I loved those shows and they still show it on like the Sci-Fi Network or whatever it's on. So I'm like, heck yeah.
Heck yeah. I was more into Xena than Hercules. And well, as a young man, I can't tell you why.
No idea. I'm pretty sure it ran for like more seasons as well.
Yeah. Actually, I got to mention, actually, because I'm having a nice little bevy while we record this. Mr. Sweet Pea himself dropped off a spice box. Chocolate whiskey. And a sheepdog peanut butter whiskey. Not sure about that one. I'm gonna try that one a little bit later. And this one I'm really excited to try. It is a rhubarb and ginger gin. And it just smells so nice. So thank you, Mr. CP.
That was a nice opening.
Oh, that was. If anybody else wants to send us, you know, whiskey or gin, you know, just feel free. We accept.
And we'll give you a run on the show. We'll give you a little sponsorship plug, you know.
Yeah, there you
We're
go,
all
yeah.
about those endorsement deals.
Yes, I should disclaimer this. This is not an endorsement. That gin. That's nice. Anyways, that's about, yeah, wanted to make note of that. I haven't watched much, man. It's been a slow week.
That's all right. They can't always be jam-packed. They can't always be stacked.
Oh, I actually, one thing I watched, which actually could take us into trade talk, maybe. I watched because we had the Tom Cruise COVID rant, which it's being called, came out. And I heard snippets of it and I wanted to hear the whole thing. So I didn't really watch it. I mean, it's a YouTube video, but they don't have him actually doing it. It's just a sound recording. So I don't know. Have you seen that or heard it?
I've heard it.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you thought about it, but I mean, he sounded T-O'd in the clips that they show. But when I heard the whole thing, like, yeah, he did definitely go over the edge. But the problem with when you get audio clips of stars losing it on set, you never have the buildup of the hours, the days, the weeks, however long, months, because I think they've wrapped, they've just announced they've wrapped filming it early now, and the five people quit because of it. But anyway, so you don't know what's built up to it. All you ever get is the star exploding. And he did come down at the end and, like, you know, calm himself down, and he was able to speak more clearly to the situation. But of course, that's not what they want to highlight or people want to talk about. And I mean, listen, I'm not Tom Cruise. I am not Tom Cruise.
What?
But he's producing that and starring in it. Okay. Now, I produced and starred in our little indie feature that we did. And the amount of stress I felt on a small scale and didn't have to deal with COVID or protocols or, you know, hundreds of people. So I could understand the stress that probably was there for him. It didn't bother me too much, to be honest. When I heard the whole thing. And I don't know what was happening that caused him to do that. I'm sure more information will come out, but hearing the whole thing, I don't know. I guess you're not supposed to swear and yell at people nowadays, but I don't know. He hit his breaking point. We're human beings, people. We sometimes go off the deep end, and if you're a star, somebody's going to hit record and they're going to try and make you out to be a monster. But I personally didn't bother me too much. I don't know. How did you feel about it?
Same way. I don't know what the situation was that caused the breaking point, but I 100% agree with the reaction. He, like you said, he's the producer of the show, which means he's in charge of the safety and, you know, health of hundreds of employees and hundreds of millions of dollars. So as soon as any of that gets compromised, it falls on him. I get it. I 100% get the reaction, regardless of what it was in regards to. I think he was, you know, I find there was justifiable reaction. Sometimes a little bit of swearing is what needs to be said to really hammer home things. People will probably disagree and say, like, oh, you could have said it a different way without having to curse and put down people. And, like, he didn't directly. He, as a group, collectively was saying, if you mess up, you will be fired. Like, you've got to think of how many people this affects if you don't follow the rules. So I was like, power to him. Like, if he wants, see, I mean, I was reading comments of people like, oh, you know, he just wants his movie to be made. He's a terrible actor and he just wants to make his money. I'm like, you're missing the point. Mm-hmm. He's not thinking about his movie. He's thinking about, it's everybody's movie and it's everybody's job and it's everybody's safety and health. He's like, that's a lot of weight. So I'm like, I was totally fine. I was like, yeah.
See, and you, that's the thing, like, oh, he could have said it nicer. He probably had, because he even said in the rant, he's like, I'm sorry, but I'm done with your apologies or something. Because so obviously this had been an ongoing thing. And like he said in it, it's not just hundreds, thousands. He's like, you know, these are, if I'm on the phone with Hollywood every night, like begging them to, like, they want to shut us down. You know, they will find a reason to shut us down. And that's people losing their jobs. This is not a time when, you know, we want any more people to be losing their jobs. So just follow the rules. If you don't agree with the rules or you don't like the rules, that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is that they're there. Follow them. This will all be over, you know, at some point. But for this production to continue and for you to keep your job, you know, and this person who might have a family that they're supporting because of this, or this person who's trying to pay their way through college, you know, do you really want to get this production shut down for you and everybody else who's relying on it because you don't feel like you need to follow whatever it was that they were obviously protocol they were breaking. So yeah, totally justifiable.
Let us know what you think, audience, if you heard this rant or read anything about it, because it would be a good conversation piece. But
Find the whole thing. Find the whole one.
Yeah.
Don't just find the short little 30-second one. I think it's about 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes or something is the longest one I was able to find. I also just am a huge Tom Cruise fan, so maybe I'm biased, but I like Tom Cruise.
I like Tom Cruise too. He's quite the man, the anomaly in the industry, I would say. Like, he's been doing it for a very long time, and he makes very good movies. So, so yeah, that is a very good lead into today's Trade Talks. That's probably going to be the longest chunk that we talk about on any one subject. I've got a bunch of things that I wanted to rattle off that I thought were kind of cool things that had happened in the past couple of weeks. You might think they're cool too. And you as well, Justin, maybe. Who knows? If you think it's boring, just be like, next.
Yeah, skip to the next segment.
Next one. So I'm going to start.
Move on. No.
That's it. I don't like it. All right. So I'm going to start with the first, the first one, because you actually, I'm dying here, folks, of old age. What? The first one I'm going to mention is, it was going to be the second one I was going to mention, but I'm going to call it the first one now because you just talked about it before, about Chris Pratt. Now, he has a new show coming out. Now, is it a show or is it a film? I think it's a film. But I read it and I was like, this sounds exactly like another film that was released in the 80s. And it goes back to that episode where we talked about how there were films that were exactly the same released at the same time. But anyway, so Chris Pratt is attached to produce and star in a karate comedy called The Black Belt. Now, it's a coming-of-age independent comedy called The Black Belt. I'm going to read you a quick synopsis and see if it sounds familiar. The film centers on a shy, unassuming teen boy on a quest for an expertise in karate and his unorthodox uncle who guides him along the way.
I'm going to say Karate Kid.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, damn, this is very familiar. But you know, we should have learned by now, synopsis don't mean jack to what the final product is.
You know what they need to do is they should go, instead of going back and remaking really good movies, although I do like remakes of good movies modernized, I still do like that, but they should try going back and remaking bad movies that had potential, though. Like, you know, like there's a good story there or whatever, but for whatever reason, it is just like, wah, wah. You should try and go back and remake some bad movies.
Yeah.
I guess that might be a hard pitch. Hey, you remember that big flop in 86?
No.
We want $75 million.
To make a good version.
We want to make a good version.
So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting just because I read it and I was like, man, this sounds exactly like The Karate Kid. But obviously there's more to it because it's been greenlit and he's doing it through his – he has a film company called Invisible Productions.
So he's not the young kid though, obviously. Or
no, maybe he's going to be the unorthodox uncle. Who knows?
Yeah.
Interesting. He'll have to learn karate then. Maybe he already does.
Maybe, but I'm picturing him in my head doing karate right now. And it's hilarious.
Well, he did some pretty badass moves as Star-Lord. Yeah, The Weeknd, he's a Star-Child. or Kiss, you know, Star-Child. Whatever generation you're from. So that was the first little bit that I came across that I thought was kind of funny. And then the next one is, because we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, because he directed one of your favorite episodes of The Mandalorian, Robert Rodriguez.
Yes, he did the tragedy episode.
Yeah. Now, when I was growing up, folks, as an adult, I still like to do this as well. But as a kid, I used to dress up all the time. Any chance I got, I would dress up in costume as one of my favorite characters all the time. One of the constant ones I went to was Zorro. Always dressed up as Zorro. And then when Antonio Banderas did The Mask of Zorro with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Anthony Hopkins, I was like, this movie is the bomb. It was so good. Anyway, Robert Rodriguez is teamed up with Sofia Vergara and I think his sister, Rebecca Rodriguez, to develop a female lead Zorro project.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah.
With Sofia Vergara as...
I think she's... I think she's just coming on as like a developer. I don't think she's in the show.
Okay, I was picturing her as Zora. I'm thinking that's two people in a row that I've not known to see in martial arts. Not that Zora's martial arts, but
no, but
certainly has.
He knows how to kick butt.
Kick she now.
Yeah, she. Now, I don't know if it would be like period piece. Well, I'm hoping it would be because Zorro kind of only works in a certain time zone, like time period. Because if you move a swashbuckling Zorro to modern day, it's like, hey, I got a sword. And some baby would be like, I got a gun. Yeah. Or any other kind of weapon.
It'd be like in Indiana Jones where Harrison Ford just like, you guys cracking the whip around. He's just like, bang. actually, hey, funny. It's not funny. It's actually a really sad, sad story. Antonio Banderas, way back when, did a show, a film called The 13th Warrior. Mm-hmm. Was filmed on Vancouver Island, BC, Canada. Just outside of Campbell River, which is where I was living when I was young, growing up in elementary school. It's the very first film that I ever went to. They did like an open call casting for it. And they were looking for people to fill roles and positions as some of the townspeople. And that was my first eye-opening experience to the business of rejection. They didn't like me. They said, who is this kid? Take him away. He's far too handsome to be a
next.
Yeah. Anyways. Thanks for reminding me of that childhood memory.
That childhood trauma.
Trauma, yeah.
I remember that film.
3 hours.
I remember that film. It was quite good. I remember one scene specifically from it where they're sitting around a campfire and he doesn't speak the language and he's just quiet. He's just sitting there. And then it like bit by bit, the soundscape throws in English words. To signify that he's like figuring out the language. And then he speaks back to these other warriors in their language and they're like, what?
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah. That's the one scene I remember from that film because I thought it was so cleverly done.
I'd have to go back and rewatch it because I do remember enjoying it. My buddies at the time, his dad helped build a lot of the sets. And he came back and this is before he's like, oh, this village is going to burn to the ground at the end of this film. And we're like, what really? How do you know that? He's like, oh, just the way we built it. Like, I'm sure this thing is going to burn to the ground. Sure enough, watch the film. Spoiler alert. The village burns to the ground at the end.
There you go.
You could just, yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't know it was filmed in Van, like in BC.
Yeah. On the island. And yeah. Cause I think we knew the family that, or there's a family that rented out their big, beautiful house on the ocean to him.
Nice.
Well, he lived there.
That just reminds me of the Virgin River show. It's set in the US, but it is like 100% filmed in Squamish.
Oh, yeah.
Which, folks from outside of BC, Squamish is a like a smallish town on up north of Vancouver City on the way to Whistler. So it's very picturesque. It's right on the river. It's beautiful if you ever come over here to get up there. But Alex used to live in Squamish, and she watched the show, and straight away she's like, boom, that's where I used to do this, and this is where I used to go, and I know that place, I know that place, and that place, and that place. She's like, I miss living up there just for that view, because they do a lot of, you know, here's the location shot, big wide open space.
Establishing shot.
Yeah. Now, that's cool. Sippy, sippy.
Go digging into this. I've been waiting to try this rhubarb ginger gin.
Is this going to be like when we watch the first cut of the film and you're just going to end up blasted by the end of it?
No.
Now, that's a funny story I'm going to tell quickly, folks, because it is the New Year's special, and we hope you're all having a safe wobbly pop at home with...
Yes, that's why I'm having some bevvies. This is my Hayden and I's New Year's together.
Yeah. But when we first screened Burn Your Name, because we thought we had a finished product on our hands, I had some Avion tequila that I got and brought back to me actually from Mexico. And the reason why I wanted that specific one was because it was from Entourage. And then Alex and her family were down in Mexico and they brought it back for me. And I was like, I'm going to drink this to celebrate the film being complete. And we had a shot when the film started, I think. And then we got like 5-10 minutes in and there was like a huge like technical glitch on like, or a hardware glitch on the screen. And we're like, oh, okay, we're going to make a note of that. And then it happened again. And we were like, oh, we'll just have a shot every time there's a glitch and we'll get through the film. No problems. Needless to say.
There was a lot of glitches.
There were a lot. And Justin, myself, and Lou got rather inebriated on this tequila. Lou was just like, he became part of the couch. Couldn't even tell he was there. But so if you ever decide to drink when watching a first cut of a film, maybe drink just water.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm going to move on from that. This one's for all my tabletop gaming fans out there, Dungeons and Dragons. Now, that's seen quite a resurgence, I think, in the popular eye since like Stranger Things came out a couple of years back, because that was a hit TV show where the main characters like played the game, and even the main like creatures in it were from the gaming world. But many years ago, there was a Dungeons and Dragons movie that came out, which was like one of those films that you were saying maybe they should remake a film that was bad and try and do it better. So we're moving on to another Chris. Not Chris Pratt. It's going to be Chris Pine.
Oh.
Chris Pine is signed on to star in Paramount's Dungeons and Dragons. I was like, oh, that could be interesting. Could be good. Depends on, I mean, I remember when they did a World of Warcraft film a couple of years back, and it looked very promising, but it didn't fly for the masses, so who knows?
I like me some Chris Pine. I like all them Chris's, the trio of Chris's, the Pratts, Evans, and Pine.
I do too. And, moving on from one game to another type of game is my next bit of news.
Another game.
Now, the history of Hollywood making video game adaptations has not been in their favor. So films like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Assassin's Creed, I really had high hopes for that because I had Michael Fassbender attached. Didn't happen. The Mario Brothers film. Does anyone remember that one?
No, I think people have blocked that one.
Yeah. I mean, Sonic the Hedgehog was a surprise success.
Sonic was good. The Witcher.
Oh, yeah.
On the series. It's a Netflix series, not a film, though. Huge success.
But see, that's also a book series as well.
Right. And Hitman. I don't know if you ever watched the movie Hitman.
No, but was that with Timothy Oliphant? Rachel, you'll have to tell us.
I liked him. It's been a while since I've seen it. I remember it being like a whatever film. It wasn't,
So this is all building up to one of the biggest, in my mind, franchises that's been around since the 80s of video games. Started on Nintendo, moved over to PlayStation. I was going to say, can you guess it, Justin? Or audience, but I haven't given you really enough to guess.
It's a video game.
It's a video game. Hideo Kojima wrote this game called Metal Gear Solid. You might have heard of it. Little game.
Huge game.
Huge game. Huge, huge game. They are doing a film adaptation of that. Now, I was umming and ahhing about it because the creator of the game is not involved in the creation of the movie. And I was like, oh, really? Do you want to do that, Sony? Because he wrote all of those games. And the story in those games is amazing. So why would you not get him at least on as a consultant to help write a movie? Because you play those games and it's cinematic in itself. But I digress. I'm going to hold my breath. This one is okay because of the lead who they've cast as Solid Snake. Now, sidetrack. Have you ever seen the Escape from New York or Escape from Los Angeles films with Kurt Russell?
No.
Go watch them because they're kind of... I know you don't like saying this, but they're kind of B-grade action movies.
I did say that before, but I accept the term.
Yeah. I'm going to say they're cult classic action movies because they weren't like top ones, but they're quite good. But you watch them and the guy's name is Plissken. He has an eye patch. He gets injected with a virus that he has a certain amount of time to do his mission to get out to get the antidote. All of the exact same story elements that are in those films are in the Metal Gear Solid game, which came out like 10 years later. So that's a case in point there on how you can use the exact same plot elements but tell a story differently, and both work. So if you go watch those two films, and if you remember the Metal Gear Solid games, you'll be like, dang, this like... the character is like exactly the same, and he even looks the same too. Like he's even modeled the same. Anyway, so who they have for the new film, which I got quite excited about because I really like him as an actor, is Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
He's been cast as to play Solid Snake, and I was like, oh, that's a good one.
I love me some Oscar.
Yeah. Now he's in Dune, and he was in Star Wars, and he was in... Was he in Narcos? I can't even remember.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that was Pedro Pascal. That was in
Narcos. That's Pedro. That's the Mando himself. I think he was in, maybe I'm wrong, Ex Machina?
Oh, yeah, he was in that.
Which, the buddy of mine... Like the first time I saw it, I always thought it was Ex Machina. I thought that's how it looks phonetically.
Yeah.
And then a buddy of mine found out it was pronounced Ex Machina. And so I just keep calling it Ex Machina. And he's like, dude, it's Ex Machina. I'm like, I don't know. Look at it, man. Like it's clearly spelled Ex Machina. No, that's what and he'd get all fired up about it. So I just kept calling it Ex Machina. Fantastic film though. Really, really good film.
Yeah. So I was like, dude, hopefully the story is good. to utilize his acting talents and that the history of that story and that character. I'm like, you got to do a good job, Sony, or you're going to have the whole place burning to the ground.
Yeah.
Subtly.
just a slight overreaction.
Slatter.
You thought the Tom Cruise rant was bad.
Where did you get video game fanatics on there?
Yeah. They already got Cyberpunk 2077 discontinued.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up, but I thought, oh, does it really fit anywhere? But that was a huge step for Sony to do that. But
yeah, we'll talk about that off air, actually, because that's a pretty wild story. Yeah. Wild and crazy story that you will never hear about.
No. Anyway, so I'm going to segue from Oscar Isaac into some Mandalorian news, some Star Wars news. Now, we've talked before, people, about how streaming services never release their numbers data. They just say, oh, successful, you know, this many. Like, it could just be blowing smoke saying, hey, this is how many people watched this film.
And that would get more people interested. They'd be like, oh, what's the big deal about this show anyways?
Exactly. Now, what they've done is Disney Plus has released their numbers. No, wait, who was it? It was someone else. But anyway, The Mandalorian was the most streamed show across all platforms for the month of November. It outstreamed Queen's Gambit. It outstreamed any number of new release films. So, because we talked previously about how many views Queen's Gambit had. It was like 60 plus million or whatever in its first week.
62 million in the first 28 days.
Dang.
28 days. Yeah, so they released that, Netflix released that, and then Disney was like, wait a minute. No. Mandalorian's doing better.
Yep.
What are the numbers? Did they release it?
I'm just quickly skimming over it. They have...
Or they're just saying it was the most viewed.
They have percentages. They don't have actual numbers. But that said... It's because now, like last year when The Mandalorian came out, it was only available in like Canada and Australia, I think, at the same time. And then Europe had to wait 4 months for Disney Plus to launch, and then they got it. But now it's released concurrently. So you've got that side of the world and this side of the world all watching it at the same time. But it was through an independent collection data agency as well. So yeah, it was... Over 20% of streams were for The Mandalorian as the number one show for the month.
Wow.
So that's a lot of streams considering how many people have Netflix worldwide, how many people have Disney Plus worldwide.
Well, it's one in every five streams globally is The Mandalorian. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So that's the last little bit of my trade talk. It went much longer than I thought. But, you know, these things happen.
These things happen.
And I thought I had to throw in a little bit of Star Wars just because I was making Justin miss watching this show.
I know. I was going to give you crap because I was like, how many times is he going to bring up Mandalorian?
I've had to block social media. Like, I still want to go on there, but I see anything Star Wars and I'm like, swipe. Don't read. And then I have a group chat with my brother and his best mate back home in Australia. And he freaking sent something on Instagram and he's like, if you haven't watched the episode yet, bloody go and watch it now. It's the best one. I'm like, dude, why are you like, yeah, cool. It's the best episode. But why are you sending me stuff? Like, clearly I haven't watched it yet. I don't even think my brother, I don't think he's watched any of them because I don't think he has Disney Plus. So I'm like,
then it'll definitely be the best one when he watches it.
Of course, it's a season finale. They're not going to not give you the best episode.
I mean, the tragedy I thought was so good. The Believer was good too after that, the tragedy. So if it's better than the tragedy, man, I am going to watch it tonight and then pretend I haven't watched it tomorrow when I rewatch it with my family.
Just watch it tonight so that you don't have to stress for another 12-hour day of people like telling you spoilers.
No, I got hockey practice in the morning and then I need to come home put the baby down for a nap and then we'll watch it. So I only have to make it a little bit into the day. Let's get out of here. Let's get a trade talk. Let's move on here.
Let's move on. Where are we moving?
We could either do the, you know what, before, think about if you want to do the listener question or the speed quote thing first. And while you ponder that, people, alert, prize alert. Okay, yeah, so because this is our, like, out with 2020 and in with 2021, what we're going to do is I'm going to post a picture on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook of the mug. And what I want you people to do, if you're interested, and you can also email it to us at fromacertainpointofviewpodcast@gmail.com. Just let us know. And maybe you don't do this, but just make something up, because we don't know. But what is your New Year's resolution? Send it to us in a private message. Send it to us on the Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter post we put out. Or send it to us. You could be the first one to send it to our new email. That could be you. And then what we're going to do is take all those names, put them in a higgity hat, draw it out next episode. So yeah, there you go. Prize alert. Prize alert. Tell us your New Year's resolution.
Now, Justin, can you give us an example of the kind of resolution that you're looking for? What's one of your New Year's resolutions?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot, because I'm one of those people that doesn't do that. I'm just like, I'm perfect.
Okay. If you're an actor, if you were to be a character who had to think of a New Year's resolution on January 1st or December 31st, whatever you choose to do it, what would you do?
Find a way to better prioritize my time so that I can set myself up for success in every aspect of my life, whether it is work, family, fun. I don't know. How's that? Is that okay?
I was going to be like, eat less chocolate bars.
You do eat too many chocolate bars.
Because if I was a chocolate bar, what would I be?
See, this yes, I'm too existential. Like my friend Mark Rudeau, he'd ask me something like, man, like, if you could go anywhere, where would you go? And I'd be like, the moon or space. And he'd be like, he just shake his head. He just put his head down and shake it. He's like, on Earth, like, come on, who says that? I was like, well, you asked me if I could go anywhere. Like, if I could go anywhere, would I go? That's where I'd want to go. So maybe I got to bring it down sometimes.
Never. Shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
I would be the same. I'd be like, definitely outer space as well. Intergalactic travel.
Yeah, some other galaxy in 3.5 million years.
Planetary intergalactic. I think.
Little Beastie Boys reference.
Yeah. I feel like going a little bit silly. You want to do some speed quotes and we'll finish up with the listener question?
Sure, because we don't have to get too far and go too deep into the listener's question. It is a fun one, though, people. You're going to want to stick around. Okay, let's do it. Do you want to, you know what? How about I do mine first to you? Because I manually wrote mine out and you have yours up on a page, do you not?
On a listy list, yeah.
Yeah, so if some of mine are on yours, then you can know to skip them.
Yeah.
Okay, so people play along, okay? Play along. We're going to set a 1 minute timer. Hayden, do you got a timer?
I got a timer.
Hayden's got a timer. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go, we'll hit the timer. We're going to go for a minute. I'm going to read a famous quote from a film, like a little one-liner. Hayden, if I don't get through the full line and you know it, just say it, because this is a time thing. Whoever gets the most in the 60 seconds, will get a point. And it's 5-4 for Justin right now.
Wait, I thought it was only a 0.5 ahead on the...
I know. I went back and re-listened though, and it's actually...
It's a clean point. Dang. Okay. So no. Redemption time. Time so to level the scores. Ding.
Oh, no. Oh, you got a half point or I got a half point?
You got a half point because you got my Scrooge question, but you didn't get which Scrooge it was. But I would be...
Yes.
I'll be gifting on Christmas and I'll give you that full point.
No, because it was 5-3 2 weeks ago. And then the one that just came out last week where you gave me the half point, I won't take it because we were unsure about the score. So we'll do, I think it's 5-4 because you got the Matrix one. So 5-4. I don't want your pity point. I'm too competitive for that.
All right, mister. Let's do it. Let's go. Cracking of the hands.
Okay, so I got to
have a little sip of my special tea.
His tea. Ooh, I love that mug. My goodness. Whoever wins this mug is going to be so... Their life is going to be so much better. What's your resolution, people? Okay, I'll give you a tick. If you don't know, Hayden, just say pass. And then I have, I think, 20 written down. So if you get to the end, I'll just go back to the ones you passed on and read them again. But I don't. You'll be all right. Okay. Let me know when you're ready and let me know when you hit the thingamajiggy, the timer.
All right. I'm going to hit the timer. In 5-4-3-2-1.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
The Godfather.
May the force be with you.
Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
You talking to me?
Taxi Driver.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Oh, dang. Apocalypse Now.
I'm the king of the world.
Oh, dang. Pass.
I feel the need. The need for speed.
Top Gun.
I love gold.
Austin Powers, gold member.
My precious.
Lord of the Rings? Do I have to say the full title? Fellowship of the Ring? Nope.
Adrian!
Rocky!
Hasta la vista, baby.
The Terminator.
Is that the
timer? That's time. That's time.
Yeah. I'll give you the... That was Terminator 2.
That's Terminator 2. I didn't get it. The timer went off.
Okay.
So I got 8.
The one you missed. I'm the king of the world.
Titanic.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, wait. I was going to say something different anyway.
Eight.
Adrian.
Oh, man. We might have to do a tiebreaker round if we get 8 because I got more here for you. Okay. How did you guys do out there? Ooh, only a couple, hey? Oh, that's a good try.
This is a good try.
What if they beat you? What if they got the Titanic? What if somebody out there? Did any of you get more than 8? Let us know.
Because how many did you say? You said 10. Did you get 10 out?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I was on the 11th, but the timer ran out. So you got... Oh, so what did you...
I got 8 out of 10 because I missed Titanic and I didn't get Terminator out quick enough. I didn't get T2 out quick enough.
8 out of 9. 8 out of 9. Well, 8 out of 10, yeah, because you didn't get T2. Yeah, 8 out of 10, yeah. But the timer went. I don't think you had a chance to get it. Pretty good, 80%. That's an acceptable mark.
All right. Are you ready? I'm going to have to scroll. So I'm going to give. Yeah. I'm going to try and get 10 out, scrolling as quick as I can. Because some of these I know that you won't know because I don't even know them and they're like from old films. So I'm going to try and keep it in within our generation of viewing.
Sure.
Our generation. Our window of viewing films. All right. Do you want me to do timer again?
Yeah. Please, if you don't mind.
Not at all. So if you're prepared.
Are you people prepared?
They're prepared. Audience, are you ready for another round of speak words?
Official intro.
Official intro. Now, I'm not going to be quite as good as you by putting on voices. I can try.
I like that you called that good. I'll accept that.
Well, I was like stumped straight away on The Godfather and I knew it, but I was like, and again, off I can. And I was like, I know it now. I know it now.
That straight face next time.
Straight faced.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's birthday.
Wedding. You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Gosh darn it.
Ask me for a favor. Marlon Brando. Awesome. Okay, I'm ready.
You're ready?
I'm ready for this. Oh, hold on. No, I'll try the peanut butter whiskey after. I don't want any. I'm a little bit nervous. Two things I love. Okay. I'm ready.
Peanut butter and whiskey.
Whisk.
A whisk. All righty. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. Yep. Where are we? You complete me.
Pass.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander
Gladiator.
Of the... Yep. I drink your milkshake.
Pass.
You make me want to be a better man.
Pass.
Chewie, we're home.
Force Awakens.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Pass. Chinatown.
Yeah, that was a give. Yeah. They call it a royale cheese.
Oh, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, where am I? Yo, Adrian.
Rocky.
Wax on, wax off.
Karate Kid. Seven.
That's my bad because I couldn't scroll quick enough.
No.
I'll give you one more.
Okay. Oh, this is it. This is for the tie.
This is what I was trying to scroll down to. That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Oh, son of a gun. That'll do, pig. That'll do. That'll do, pig. That'll do. Oh no, I'm thinking Shrek. That'll do, donkey. That'll do, donkey. That'll do. That'll do, pig. That'll do. I don't know.
Can you name me any film that has a pig as the star?
Muppets. The Muppets.
No.
Oh.
That's not Miss Piggy.
That'll do, Miss Piggy. Any movie that has a pig as a star? Babe?
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. I'm going to give you that. I can give you one more.
Let's do a 30 second tiebreaker round. Do you want to do another round?
Yeah, another round.
We got time. Did you catch their email address?
What is it? I'm trying to handwrite the envelope now.
Okay, where did I leave off? Oh, hasta la vista. Okay, I have. I got some good ones.
We'll stick it to 30 seconds. It's a tiebreaker round. It's got to be.
Yeah. It's got to be bang, bang.
Bang, 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 bang. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Here's Johnny.
The Shining.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
The Planet of the Apes?
Say hello to my little friend.
Scarface.
Show me the money!
Jerry Maguire.
I see dead people.
The Sixth Sense.
My mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. I'll be back.
The Terminator.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Jaws.
I'll give it to you.
I think I got more that round than I did in the whole minute.
You got 100% of that round. 8 for 8, baby.
Yeah.
You are flying, man. Here, I'm going to give you the last two because there's three more just for fun. Let's see if you can get them.
You can't handle the truth.
A Few Good Men.
I'm Mike Lowry.
Bad Boys. Mike Lowry.
Lowry. I was like, this isn't iconic, but he'll know it. And then finally, Frankly, Dear, I Don't Give a Damn.
Oh, Casablanca.
Close. Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. See, I've never seen that.
Yeah, that's why I actually had that one at the top of my list. And I was like, it's a quote that people will know, but might not know the film. So I was like, I'll skip it. But man, you rocked that, bro. 8 out of 10, then 8 out of 8. Damn, son. How'd you guys do? How'd you people do? Let us know.
All right. Are you ready? Because I got a lot.
Oh, boy. I'm ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Pass.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Good morning, Vietnam. Or Vietnam. Yeah. Good morning, Vietnam.
Go ahead, make my day.
Oh, shoot. Is that Home Alone? No. Oh, it's Dirty Harry.
I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
Goodfellas.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
I do hope.
Yes.
4. Holy cow, 4. You doubled me. Oh, my Lord. Did you set your timer for a minute? I'm going to have to go back and just make sure that.
Listen to the playback. I got a few more. You want to try some few more just off the top of your head?
I got hung up on the second one, I think it was.
The first one, I should have done a bit of an accent and say, I wish I knew how to quit you. Think two cowboys on a mountain.
Oh, Brokeback Mountain. Yeah. I haven't seen it. I haven't actually seen it. Yeah.
That's Jake Gyllenhaal's character.
Mm.
As he's professing his everlasting love to Heath Ledger's character. Now, the next one, I was wondering if you might get this one. Because I would have got it because I used to watch these films like religiously all the time. Mm. I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
Oh, man, that sounds so familiar. Give it to me.
That's from Notting Hill. Julia Roberts. I've
seen it, but not enough to remember it. Man, look at you. Winning the bonus round. Officially ties it up. We are 5-5 people.
Woo. I'm going to keep some of those other ones for next week's one then.
I got to come up with some harder ones for you. That's it. Oh, second place.
I think yours were better because they were nice and short. Some of my ones were a bit long. So there's one here I'm going to give you just for fun.
All right, last one. Here we go.
Here we go. Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
The best damn Christmas movie ever made.
One of the best action movies ever made.
Yes. Congratulations, man. Take us out of here. I'm tired of being the loser.
Segway, segway, segway.
Stop happy dancing. Hey, should we go to the question and then to Rachel?
We shall indeed. Now, this week's listener question time, folks, actually came from Mrs. Fantastic.
She is Mrs. Fantastic. Yeah, she's in this. We thought this would be a good one to plug in because this was going to be sort of a lighter, funner sort of episode. And the question was just if we had a fun, embarrassing, or unexpected moment on set. On a film set.
On a film set. Do you mind if I take this one first? Because I don't really have much. I just have a memory from one of our films that I was quite taken aback by.
Yeah.
Well, not taken aback by, but...
I have a funny one. And then I have slightly... It's not embarrassing, but it's kind of... I guess I have two funny ones. So
Kate, thanks for the question. It's definitely one I'm going to come back to, I think, later, because it's been a while since I've been on set, but I really enjoy it. But one of the something that happened on when we were filming Burn Your Name, not so much during the day's shooting, but after the day had wrapped. We were sitting around in this tiny little freaking front room, basement suite, whatever it was that the majority of the film was shot in. And everyone was kind of like, yo, we just blasted out a massive day, lots of pages. Everyone's like, we're actually doing this. We're actually filming a feature film. It's insane. And during the day, Justin had done a couple of scenes where he was playing his guitar. And I was making it difficult for him, making him play in reverse and whatnot. It was also the same day, I think, where we had that infamous ripped singlet shirt because he was so buff that he was like, look at how much
jacked
ripped
up.
Out of this shirt.
Yeah, it's hard to keep me in a shirt, guys.
we went to the gym for like 3 months before we shot that film to get you looking good on screen.
Yeah, and I almost got there.
Hey, I think there's only one topless shot of you in that film, so yeah. You look good. But anyway, what I'm trying to get to is after that day had wrapped, Justin pulled out the guitar again and decided to just jam whatever came to his head. And there was like the crew of us, like there was Krista, there was Lou. There was Justin, there was myself, there was Alex. I don't know who else was there. Was Avery there? I don't know who was else. There was someone. There was a people there.
I don't think Avery was an on Burn Your Name. She was Paper Cranes.
Yeah. There were some people there. Anyway, we were sitting there and Justin was just like jamming and he was making songs up. And I think we were beyond tired. That we were just looking at the bookshelf of wine bottles.
Yeah.
And he came up with like Black Chook, the song, or Bluebells, or was it Blueberries? I can't remember.
It was Bluebells, but there was Black Chook, and Lou was having a good time with it. That was so fun.
Yeah. Dawn might have been there, because I think that's where the beginning of the yas came from.
Yes. So. Oh, Dawn. I miss Dawn.
So that was something unexpected that came from just the after, the bonding of a crew and a team becoming a mini family over Justin singing and playing guitar. He was serenading us all with his wonderful songs. And I was like, dude, I'm going to totally get you to sing in this film. I'm just going to write something different. We didn't have him sing. We did have him play some more though. But yeah, that's my answer.
I think we even named the song that I played in the one of the final scenes where actually Hayden, you were a background performer.
Your backing musician.
My backing musician, Bluebells, where I got the phone call. Easter egg in that film, actually, Hayden played two characters. He had to dress himself up. You played Lou's sort of pick up from the bar the one night stand and then
you say I had to dress up. Technically I had to dress down because I was squeezing into Justin's jeans and shirt, and holy crap was that tight fitting.
It was so funny. So I'm I don't know 5'10 I'm 5'10 Hayden 6,
six three,
and Hayden is much more built than I am, and so it sort of just happened on the day, actually, and we decided that you were going to be used as this character in the bar, but you weren't dressed for it. You just dressed normally for set. You're there to direct, not to act. So I had wardrobe there because I was acting. And so he put one of my shirts and my pants on. Holy cow, did your butt look good in those pants.
I couldn't bend my legs. I was like trying to like get down on my haunches to like look at the camera angle. And I'm like, I can't bend my legs. I'm just going to fall on the ground and look that way.
Oh, that was funny. Oh, you guys have to go check it out. It's so funny.
I'm pretty sure there's a picture on Instagram as well, or on Facebook.
There is, yes.
Of me in that getup. And I'm striking quite the pose.
Yeah. Damn, you made my clothes look good. And a lot smaller than when I wear them. I'll start with my unexpected one and sort of a funny one, I guess. When we were doing SDI, Lou's film that Eric and produced, at the end of the scene or the end of the film, we're gathered around the kitchen and, you know, this guy's feeling self-conscious about himself, his nether region. And so, just a little backstory. So then the other people there, the guys, decide, hey, there's nothing to worry about. So we're all just going to get naked. We're all going to pull our pants down on the count of three. And we weren't actually supposed to do it. So my character walks over and he's sort of like the loud, sort of obnoxious one in the group. And so we go over there and it's me, Lou, and the other two actors, Lee Shorten and, oh, I forget the other guy's name right now. Anyways. And then there's the female character who's on the other side of the kitchen island. And we're just like, one, two, three. And we're just supposed to pull our pants down, but leave our boxers on. And then they'll do the cut and then edit and then do a low angle shot of the pants coming down. So it looks like it was done. Well, the first take, I went to just grab my pants. And I just went, huh, and then went, whoa, what? Because I accidentally, my boxers were just like, oh, I know what I'm supposed to do here. And they just went down too. You know, it's like, no, it's only supposed to be the pants. I think it was only the lead actress, funnily enough. And then I was like, oh, shoot. And because nobody else like knew or saw. And I was like, whoops. So I accidentally just, so
that was have sort to take of, that one again.
Yeah. Whoops. I'm going to need that footage, please. Anyway, so that was sort of a funny little moment, another unexpected moment that happened. But one that really came to my mind. Hayden, after we shot the one, you know, so I got this role in, is a series called Last Fall of Ashes. Anyways, so shooting it with Krista, this is where I first met Krista, who was the lead in Burn Your Name. And it was like this big romantic scene. And we're out at White Cliff Park in West Vancouver, which is right on the ocean. It's like a little cliff up and it just looks out west towards Bowen Island and Vancouver Island. And it was magic hour. And so it was a scene and we went there right at sunset. The lights all beautiful, bright colors, pink and oranges. And my character is inviting this woman who he's in love with to come move in with him. And he's presenting her with this key. But while they're out there on this cliff enjoying the sunset and romantic, they're smoking a joint. So we're sitting there and They have a bunch of like pre-rolled fake joints for us to smoke. Because when you're filming, you don't just shoot something once, you shoot it multiple times and from different angles. So we're there, we're shooting and doing the scene over and over. And, you know, and it's on film. So when you're smoking, you're trying to make it look like you're really smoking. So you're taking big puffs, inhaling. All of a sudden, at one point, I was just like, I'm high. Like I'm stoned right now. And the director was, and I looked at Ashley, I'm like, I feel high. And the director's like, oh no, man, like you're not high. Like they're just, you're just, let's just be so in the zone. Like, you know, like they're just the fake joints. And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense because, you know, go back to the scene, shoot one more take. And I was like, stop. And I was like, no, like, guys, I'm high. Like, I am really high right now. And I like stand up and the actress is like, oh my God. Chris is like, oh my God, like I'm high. And the director is still like, what are you guys talking about? Like, you're not high. Like, they're not real joints. Well, they turns out the person who is doing props, some of the crew were going to smoke some weed after the day was over.
Oh, dear. And
they had put their real joints weed in with the fake ones, and they gave us the real ones for the scene. So we're sitting there, just two people smoking weed nonstop in the middle of the scene. And it was like, oh my God. And then they wanted us to shoot. And then there was a break and we're like, what the heck's going on? And I literally just like got up and walked away. And I was just like standing at the edge of the cliff. And they're like, Justin, Krista, like we still need to finish. And I was like, oh my God, guys. Like, anyways, it was so funny. So then we had to go out and finish the day and end up shooting out the scene. And then we're like, well, we can't drive. So we ended up going to Sarah's Hill House's place, who was doing the wardrobe on the costume design on it, and just like had to sit there and wait. And it was like, oh my God, I just got drugged. But it was so weird because nobody, myself included, noticed the taste or the smell. Nobody on set noticed the smell. It was just like, because in your head, like everybody had it that these were these fake joints. Turns out they weren't. I was just like, no, like guys, I don't feel right. Something's going on.
I think I'm actually high.
So we got apologies from them. I think they were a little bit upset because they didn't have theirs at the end of the day, but I felt great. It's the best scene I ever shot. I never felt so in character.
Now, did that scene make the final cut?
Oh, it's a huge scene in the show. It's like the moment where he gets her to like move in. It's like a very romantic dude. And I'm telling you, it is a good scene. I was like, damn, I need to smoke up before I go to these auditions. I'm really connecting with the character, man. Yeah, I have more. We'll do more later because this episode, we don't want to run it too long. But those were a couple that really, really jumped out at me. Man, it was so funny. So funny.
Now, the funny thing will be is if Kate, is that the first time you've heard that story?
Oh, no. I went home and probably was like, guess what happened? I do.
All right. That, folks, were our two mini answers to a very fun question. Thank you, Kate, again for that one. Again, I think we'll go back to that one, I think, at some other point. I know we will.
That's one we can always throw in. There's always set stories.
There is indeed. Now, you may have listened to all of her wonderful Christmas reviews. If you haven't, go back and listen to them. Because it's time for Richard. Rachel's view.
I thought we were doing a contest there to see how who could hold it longer. I totally crushed you. Take it away, Rachel.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Rachel's Reviews and Happy New Year. Hopefully 2021 is better than 2020, but I guess we will find out about that. So I'm not really going to talk too much today. I just want to bring up my favorite New Year's movie that I watch every year, either on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. It is one of my favorite romantic comedies, and it's one of that like trifecta of Meg Ryan amazingness in movies. And it also stars Billy Crystal, and that is When Harry Met Sally from 1989, directed by Rob Reiner and written by the ever amazing Nora Ephron, who also has directed Meg Ryan in a couple other films that I'm sure that I've talked about before, but obviously if you haven't seen them, well worth it. They mostly have Tom Hanks in it, and obviously I'm going to recommend anything Tom Hanks. So if you have not seen When Harry Met Sally, it stars two friends that have been friends for a very long time. It's Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, who play Sally and Harry. And they start off like pretty much hating each other. And as time goes on and years go on, tension rises, like flirtatious tension and all that kind of stuff. But they feel like that their friendship will be destroyed if intimacy comes into play. Obviously, at one point, intimacy does come into play and everything goes amok, but it's wonderful. Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan's chemistry is amazing. Their co-stars are also just perfect. Meg Ryan's best friend is played by the very much well-missed Carrie Fisher. Her character's name is Marie. And Billy Crystal's best friend is played by Bruno Kirby, who has been in City Slickers with Billy Crystal. He's been in a couple other films, but I know him mostly from When Harry Met Sally. The time span, obviously, it goes through all of their life or majority of their life, because Harry and Sally start off knowing each other at the end of college and then just are friends through their adult lives. I'm trying not to give too much away. If you haven't seen it, you really should. It's one of the cutest love stories, and this is not giving anything away, but it takes place and ends sort of near New Year's Eve. And hence that's why I prefer to watch this. Also, it's just a hilarious comedy, and I quote it a lot, actually more than I would think I should probably, but it's very much worth it. So for this New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, give When Harry Met Sally a shot, and hopefully 2021 treats us well, and I will talk to you guys in the new year. Bye.
Thank you, Rachel, for another wonderful review to see us out for the end of the year. Now, folks, that's 15 episodes worth of material that you can go back and check out to see what she's recommended you watch for all occasions. Everything from TV shows to Christmas movies to Halloween films to many horror films to some classics to some comedies. It's all there. It's one of our favorite segments. And thank you again, Rachel, for continuing to do these with us. It's like the bomb. Thank you.
The bomb diggity dog.
The dog. Now, what is the dog sipping on?
Ooh, a little spice box chocolate whiskey.
Some chocolate whiskey. So do we know what time that means, folks?
Ooh.
It's time for the whiskey shot.
I'm just trying to harmonize everything you say for the rest of the episode.
We totally practice that, and our timing is impeccable.
Impeccable.
We sounded like one person. Now, the whiskey shot, folks, is where we wrap up for the day. It's the last shot of the day. It's an old film term. And it's where we discuss very, very quickly what we plan on doing for the next week. Now, because it's going to be coming into New Year's, there's all those resolutions kicking around. I don't know if I'm going to do one this year. I'm probably going to do the exact same thing I've been doing every week so far. I'm going to watch some more shows. I'm going to watch some movies. I'm going to make sure past, future tense Hayden has watched all of The Mandalorian so that I can talk with Justin about it.
I've had too many chocolate whiskeys to understand what that means, past, future. So.
And I did make a bet. I can't remember if it was online. On air, sorry, on the line, on the air with Justin or not, about having 5 pages of a sci-fi film scripted out by year's end. So I got to get cracking because I haven't put a single word to page yet. So I'm going to try and do that. I'm going to try and get pages of the sci-fi done. I'm going to watch some shows and I'm going to spend some time with Alex because we get a couple of days off to actually not worry about work. So that's my week ahead. What about you, Justin?
Me, man. Well, I know we've been talking a lot about this being our sort of New Year's week episode out with 2020 and with 2021. But the reality is, people, we pre-record these by about a week and a few days. So it's not even Christmas yet. So
Spoiler alert.
So just going to spend some more time, probably watch some more Christmas movies. Looking for MAGA. I don't want to rub it in, but you did bring up The Mandalorian lots. I got a week and a half off, so I want to catch up on some sleep. You can do some serious writing by year's end.
Wait, you get actual time off?
Time off? Yeah, we have hockey, a break in hockey, a break at work. Now if I could just get a break from my baby waking up at 5 in the morning every day, that would be great. But that time will come. And when that time comes, I'll be sad that there's no longer a baby toddler in the house. So that's what I'm going to do. Writing, watching Christmas. Enjoying Christmas. Yeah, that's about it.
Right on. So before we sign off for the end of the year, folks, I'm not going to get too sentimental. I saved that for Christmas. New Year's, everybody knows, it's the end of a year. It's been a heck of a year, but it's going to continue over for the time being. So just keep being good to one another. Be kind. Smile. Even if we have to wear a mask, you can still see it in the eyes. Still smile.
They call it smizing.
Smizing.
Hashtag smizing. Hashtag of the this week's hashtag.
Smizing. This week's hashtag. Now, because it's come to the end of the year, as folks like to do, they like to announce awards for whatever. We haven't been doing this for a year yet. So this is going to be my final quarter of 2020 award. And I'm going to give this. This is not going. I'd love to physically give him an award, but it's a little difficult. Anyway, there's been a person that we've spoken about quite a lot in a lot of these episodes, not because we purposely did, just at the moment, his work is very prominent in Justin and my viewing schedules. Viewing tastes. I'm going to give this award to the Mr. Jon Favreau. Because, you know, as a film director and writer myself, I looked at his work when he started out as like with Swingers and how he went about getting an independent film made and launching his career all the way up to all the innovations in technology that he has.
Sorry.
I haven't even been drinking any whiskey, folks.
What was that word you said?
Technology, all the innovations in the technology that he's been implementing with his films, with The Jungle Book, The Lion King, all the way up to his work with The Mandalorian. So there's a reason why we talk about him a lot, because he was one of us and he is now the forefront of the industry, and not just in talents, in innovation, and I do believe he deserves a little bit of a shout-out for the end of the year, and that's why I'm giving him the From a Certain Point of View, a Wooden Bull Films podcast, the FACPOV of the Year Award to Mr. Jon Favreau. And I'm going to end on that. It's been a killer year. It's going to keep on rolling, though, so stay tuned. That sounded a little bit aggressive.
So, as you heard it, folks, his Christmas spirit is dead. Welcome, Angry Hayden.
You better stay tuned. I'm another year older.
Stay tuned and stay happy and stay smiling like I am right now.
Hey, bruv.
Bruv, I'm going to learn an Australian accent for ya. Oi,
Ruda. In all honesty, folks, keep on keeping on. Keep living, to quote Matthew McConaughey. Just keep living. Be good to one another. Be excellent. And good night from me. I'm going to hand it over to Justin now to round everything out because he's really good at doing that.
Oh,
thanks, everybody.
Goodness. No pressure. I feel like I have to give an award now.
On behalf of both of us, but okay, you can do
it. Fantastic.
It's all good.
No, for a show, though. But I'm not going to do that. I like the Jon Favreau one. Hey, listen, people. 2020 was... What was 2020? Okay? You know what it is? It's soon to be in the past. And it'll be 2021 shortly. And for exactly 365 days, it'll be 2021, and then it'll be 2022. My point is...
Is that how the world works?
We've successfully completed one revolution.
The sun revolves around us, right?
We're flat? It used to, yes. All those things used to be true, but as science tells us, those aren't true anymore. Look, 2020, man, it was stressful. It was hard. It was a lot of things. But we're going to move on from that. And we're going to move into 2021. And by 2022, we're going to laugh at 2020. 2020 will be one of those things. That was so 2020. That's so 2020. Okay, so let's not get hung up on this. Like Hayden said, let's just be kind. You know, we can disagree on things. But we don't have to be buttholes about it. But I don't want to get preachy, okay? I'm excited for 2021. I'm not a resolution guy. I'm always trying to, in life, figure out what's next step. How can I improve myself and work on myself? So I don't know. I just feel like resolutions are not for me. And if they're for you, that's fantastic. I think they're great. And I like that people set them. So do it if you want. But don't forget, if you do it, to let us know. Send it to us on a social media, private message, or our new email from a certain point of view podcast at gmail.com. Let us know your resolution for 2021. Get your name entered in. For an awesome From a Certain Point of View podcast mug. You will not be disappointed. I do want to give a special thank you to Mr. Sweepy, Dan Burris himself, for the bevies and the recommendations. I've really been enjoying the chocolate whiskey, and I really enjoyed the Black Kraken Dark Roast rum. A special shout out to him. So yeah, that's it for me, man. That's it. I'm ready for 2021. I'm ready for 2020 to be over. I'm ready to say goodbye.
I'm miming fireworks. Fireworks.
Fireworks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good night.
Oh my goodness, do you see that? Hayden. The ball's dropping. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! And from me to all of you,